Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
I can't do the mechanic with my arm in a sling.
Yeah, that's tough for you. People can try to see Mac try to do it, though, at watch670thescore.com.
Doesn't work with one hand.
The Hour brought to you by Razney Jewelers. He's in Indianapolis. He's covering all things NFL Combine. He is Mark Grody by way of the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What's up, Mark Grody?
What's going on, Danny Parkinson? I do have to ask you this question about your radio partner, Dan McNeil, right there. Has his taste for offensive lineman out of Houston, Josh Jones, been satiated with the tape that I flagged down today and sent in that Mac has been texting me about for the last 2 days? Is he happy?
Is he happy?
Wow, have I been pushy? The answer is Mac's happy. The answer is yes. I am happy.
Okay.
We've already played a couple of cuts from Joshy. My guy.
Okay.
Yeah. He likes burying people. We want somebody who's 6'7", 315 to bury people with an attitude. So I'm sorry if I've been pushy.
No, I don't think pushy is the word. Just really, maybe disproportionately excited about Josh Jones. So, I mean, that's the only thing that I would
He's got a guy.
Say. Wow. No, that's great that you got a guy. And I did like his quote saying when he gets out in the space, when he's pulling, that these guys, the little guys, the cornerbacks, they see a 300-pound lineman coming at them, and they got to make a decision. So I'm just giving you crap, Dan.
Okay.
That's a good guy. Josh Jones, 6'6", 300 pounds out of Houston, not completely out of the realm of possibility that he would be where the Bears pick in the second round, 43 and 50 overall for the Bears. I do get a little bit worried when I hear things that, you know, that his technique is not great yet. He is incredibly athletic. And good in the zone blocking scheme, which is good for the sake of the Chicago Bears. So, Josh Jones.
Okay, go ahead.
A possibility
at 43, yeah. I just can't imagine how much this – okay, you're middle of the week now. All of the head coaches have talked, I think. General managers have talked. All of the biggest names have been there. Joe Burrow lit up a room, and now you get to offensive linemen, and I just picture a bunch of media guys scratching their heads asking each other, what the hell do we talk about now? We got offensive linemen in today.
Well, the interesting part about it is that the offensive linemen are actually some of the most engaging guys. I mean, they're all the offensive linemen are very intelligent, as you know, Tom Thayer and Jay Hilgenberg will tell you. You have to be a smart human being to play that position. So even if you do have to, and I would point the thumb, do a little bit of extra studying on these guys, they're very interesting once you get talking, and they're not guys who are going to, you know, walk away quickly or anything like that. So, yeah, there's a few guys on the board. I mean, I'll give you a couple of other potential names for the Bears in the second round if they are thinking tackle. There's a guy by the name of Ben Bartsch out of St. John's University in Minnesota, 6'6", 308. He's one of these guys that has impressed, kind of came out of nowhere, impressed at the Senior Bowl, and has been doing the same thing here at the Combine in terms of teams being interested in talking to him. I don't know if the Bears have talked to him. LSU, Sadiq Charles, 6'4", 295. He's another guy who might be interesting and a guy worth looking into. And then the top interior alignment, if you are thinking about a guard, Cesar Ruiz out of Michigan, 6'4", 319, is an interesting prospect that I got a chance to talk to today as well.
Boy, Ben Bartsch sounds like a Ryan Pace dream of you-know-what variety. St. John's University in Minnesota.
Exactly.
Adam Shaheen with a number in the 70s.
Well, right. No, that's when you look at a guy and you go, oh, there's a St. John's in Minnesota. I had no idea about that. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Pace had a pennant on the wall when he was a kid.
Draft someone from the SEC.
Right. Yeah, right next to his Towson pennant.
I'm more with Parco. I think they gotta play it safe and not get too out of the box. Now, don't try to be the smartest guy in the room.
Grody, did you buy what Ryan Pace was selling? Do you believe that they are truly committed to Mitch Trubisky being their quarterback in 2020?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know that I bought much of what he said yesterday. I will say this, that I did find it intriguing. The one thing that they did, or in this case, that they didn't do, not picking up that fifth-year option, at least publicly saying that they haven't done it yet, that they haven't decided to do it. I think that there's meaning to that. Even if they do pick it up, that's the one little hint right there that they're not completely committed to him. Even if it does have something to do with the CBA, if they are still trying to figure out finances, if they feel like they don't have to do it, I think that might be the one little morsel where you say, yeah, they're telling Mitch, whether it's, you know, it's trying to send a message or they're being true to it, that, hey, no, we have not picked up this option yet and it still needs to be earned. So I do think that that has some meaning to it. As far as all the other stuff like competition, the funny part about both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy yesterday, any time, I would say maybe, let's just say roughly 10 times combined, those two guys were asked in some way, shape, or form, will Mitchell Trubisky have competition at quarterback going into 2020? And every single time they answered it in the collective as in, we have competition at every position. They would never come out and actually say that there is going to be competition for Trubisky. My guess is, or at least this is my theory, is that Trubisky will, if I had to give a straight answer to this, I would say Trubisky will be the starting quarterback in the first game of the season. He gets three games to work through it. If it's the same, if it looks like it did last year, then they immediately pull him and they go to the second string quarterback. So he's on fragile ground this year, whereas last year he absolutely was not. He was going to have to be abominably bad for them to bench him last year. But if he's bad this year, they're not going to be afraid to pull the plug.
Grody, you guys as media did a nice job on the topic of Trubisky. Actually, All Bears conversation yesterday, following up on very short answers, especially in the case of the general manager. I give you crap. Danny gives you guys crap too when we think you guys don't hit enough of them, but you guys were aces yesterday. So just a thumbs up, even though it's the off season, you guys are in mid-season form. That was a good grill session.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, the thing is like, I think Pace in part might bring that on himself just because he doesn't talk a whole lot.
Sure.
And I get it. And I don't know that he's even fazed by it. I mean, he doesn't seem to sweat when he's being asked the questions. And I think he's totally and completely satisfied in not answering the questions. I mean, I think that's clearly his goal, is to be as ambiguous as possible on as many topics as possible, unless it's something really concrete like the waiving of players. But when it comes to personnel, and if they're talking about contracts, and if there's going to be competition at quarterback, he is going to be vague, and vaguer with all those questions.
We're talking to Mark Grody from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. When teams, and it gets reported that they meet with someone at the Combine, it doesn't really do anything for me because they're 10-minute car wash interviews. They do dozens of them, and it could just be doing due diligence on players because they're going to be drafted by other teams. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's interest. Jake Fromm made a little news here because it was an interview at quarterback with the Bears. Have you heard of the Bears being linked to anyone at the Combine in the form of those meetings and interviews that you found noteworthy or interesting?
Not really. I'm with you on that one, Danny. I mean, I used to fall for that like a couple of years ago when I first started coming here they have what they call the formal meetings, like you said, and then they do informal meetings, and a lot of times it doesn't mean a darn thing. So it's very difficult to read into the actual meeting with the guys, because so many guys meet with so many different GMs. In the case of Fromm, I mean, it makes total and complete sense that that would be a guy that they might talk to and they might be thinking about, because yeah, he's a guy who could, you know, fall to the Bears in that second round. Would the Bears be interested in, at this point, in developing a young quarterback? I don't know if that's the position they're in, considering the fact that they're still trying to maximize the development on Mitchell Trubisky. But it's noteworthy, Danny, when they talk to these guys. But I don't think it's worth, you know, reading into or putting that at a 10 or by any means.
Ryan Pace said yesterday the most curious thing. Well, right up there with Trubisky and how he processes things being a positive for most curious. There aren't as many holes this time around, both draft and free agency, as there were a year ago. You have to find a replacement for Prince Amukamara now. You probably need to add more depth at wide receiver after parting company with Taylor Gabriel. You need a quarterback. That's established. You have more needs this year than you did a year ago, don't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, let's start with the cornerback position. I mean, you do have two guys right now anyway. The rough draft would be Trey Roberson, the kid from Canada, or not from Canada, but the CFL player, actually played his college ball at Illinois State. So he's probably going to compete for the other side opposite of Kyle Fuller. And then you have Kevin Tolliver, who played in 15 games last year and started one game. I don't know if it's a slam dunk that either of those guys will be the starting cornerback in game one next year. So I think that that's still a position that has yet to be figured out in terms of a starter, with Prince Amukamara being out of there. The wide receiver situation is very intriguing to me too, because Taylor Gabriel is gone. How much faith do they have in Javon Wims at this point? He's a guy who, you know, he's a seventh rounder, so I don't know how much they're expecting out of him. I mean, he showed some signs of being okay last year, but, you know, he's still got a lot of work to do. Riley Ridley, we barely know anything about in terms of actual playing, but a fourth rounder is a guy that you probably should think will eventually make some sort of impact. But I still think that they need a playmaker at that wide receiver position other than Allen Robinson. This is a very deep wide receiver draft, so they might be thinking wide receiver somewhere along the line in this draft. And then I don't even know, Mac, if you mentioned tight ends. I bet you did. But that's another position that they have to do a lot of focusing on and try to figure out what exactly they want. Are they assuming that Trey Burton is a full go at that U tight end? Or are they looking at some of these tight end prospects out here, like Bryce Hopkins from Purdue, Cole Kmet from Notre Dame, Hunter Bryant, the kid from Washington, a bunch of prospects that I know they're going to zero in on? Or are they going to put some money back into the position by way of free agency with a Hunter Henry? That's the guy that I like. You know, Austin Hooper will be there, Tyler Eifert, Jacob Hollister. But, you know, there are a lot of holes, and these aren't just like patchwork depth things. These are key parts that have to be replaced with impact guys, because the defense is still good and you're still rough draft wise in a championship window.
When I ask both of you guys, Riley Ridley, what image comes to mind? What impression will be indelibly etched in your brain on his 2019 season?
The shoe?
Yes. Yes. First NFL play. Catch. My shoes off. And Tom Thayer is lighting him up on Bears right. Radio. You get your chance and you can't keep your shoe tie tight enough. Unacceptable, says good old number 57.
Yeah.
That's what I always will think of.
Of course. I mean, he'll do something to surpass it, hopefully.
I hope the bar is raised. But that's his rookie season in a nutshell for me, an untied shoe.
And a hamstring injury,
On the serious side, what Danny just said, because his season, to me, like his entire season was derailed in Bourbonnais. He missed, a couple weeks worth of, the first couple of weeks, I think, of Bourbonnais. And that means everything for a rookie wide receiver in that system where you have to know every single spot on the field. Like, I thought going into the year when they drafted Riley Ridley in the fourth round and they didn't think that he was going to fall in the fourth round, I thought for sure he was going to be a guy that we would see a lot of. But just missing that time in training camp hurt his season. So he'll be a good story in training camp this year in terms of making a bigger impact, because I think he's going to be expected to. And it's got to go beyond the shoe.
Has there been conversation at the Combine, Grody, about the CBA and all the macro changes that could be coming to the NFL?
Yeah, a little bit. There's been, obviously it's been sent to for a vote, and I feel like most of the coaches that I've spoken to and that we've spoken to out here, when you ask about the 17-game season, they're biting their lips because they don't like it and they don't want to say the wrong thing about it. I don't know, like, just any of the people that I've talked to, players and coaches, they don't seem to be crazy about the changes. I think that in general, change does change.
Yeah, this does. Show just gets into people's heads. Grody referred to us as the police officers of the score
the other day.
You just had one,
Grody.
You
just had coaches biting their lips instead of their tongues.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
You can keep a stiff upper lip. You can.
I was wondering why I heard the giggling. I was like, what did I say? you guys suck.
Yeah, we do. We do
really
indeed.
Right.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Change scares people, so I don't know. It hasn't been met with much pleasure at this point.
All right, any nuggets we need to know, and then we'll let you go. Go get a shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, so the workouts in earnest begin tomorrow. Like, nobody has run a 40-yard dash yet. If you want to watch a couple of the positions of need for the Bears tomorrow on NFL Network, tight ends and quarterbacks will be doing some of their on-field work yesterday. Something that you guys brought up yesterday, you guys were talking about Juan Castillo. I got a chance to listen to you guys for a little while and his no-nonsense approach. The one thing I would say to that, or just add to that conversation, Harry Hiestand was kind of a red ass too. Like, he was like no nonsense. He was a yeller type as well. So I thought that was kind of interesting. We talked about the wide receivers, and that's it. The bench press is about to happen here. The bleachers are filled here at the convention center. So I'm gonna go watch some of that.
225 pounds. The challenge is, how many reps can you do, Grody? I suspect you would not make one at this point, would you?
No. I max out right now. I'm benching because I've been lifting a little bit. I'm at about 150, which is not even good because you're supposed to be able to bench your weight, and I weigh more than 150.
150 is more than I would have guessed.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
I would have guessed more. I would have guessed his weight. I believe you can bench your weight, Grody.
Once.
All right. Well,
yes.
Eventually, I'll be able to. I'm working my way up.
Eventually, when I turn 50, I'll get stronger. Nice. That's a good plan. Coming. Stick with that one. That'll work.
All right, you guys suck. Talk to you later.
Perfect.
All right, Mark,
see
you,
Grody. You're doing great.
Later. Bye.
That's Mark Grody.
They're biting their lips.
Biting their lips at the NFL Combine.
The littlest things tickle me.
I get it.
That's when it's good to be me.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so the NFL might be undergoing big changes.
Yeah.
Players are pissed. 17-game seasons, potential lockouts. They're trying to push through a vote. We'll weigh in on it all next.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
On the score.
How much is that impacting what you're trying to plan for the next month and some of the unknowns right now?
The CBA?
Yeah.
We're prepared either way for that, and so we're comfortable with it, whatever direction it goes.
Have you kind of had to come up with two different plans?
Yeah, those are discussions that I've had with Joey and Ted, and just being prepared for either scenario.
So that's Ryan Pace discussing how the uncertainty around the current collective bargaining agreement negotiations... collective bargaining negotiations between the players' union and the NFL owners may or may not affect the Bears' ability to spend this offseason if this is the last year with football and then a lockout comes. Owners want to get the deal done now because the new television rights negotiations haven't happened. Some of the rank-and-file players seem to be in line with it because they haven't made their millions and millions yet, and so they can't afford to be locked out. But some of the richer, more veteran players who maybe have some money saved and have a better understanding of the last round of negotiations where the players' union got absolutely held over a barrel and screwed, they want to hold out and actually try to make a dent because they think that their leverage is the next round of television negotiations.
Yeah, Russell Wilson in particular is one who is a hard pass.
J.J. Watt as well.
Yeah, not having any of this. What do you like, what don't you like about what you know that's been proposed?
So I think sometimes in a negotiation, you can tell based on how much someone is pushing for something to happen, right? Like who it will benefit. This came out of nowhere. There's not a deadline.
Right.
Right? It's not until after this season.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, the owners are like, let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's put this to a vote. Yeah. And that was after a lot of dragging their feet and all that. So that tells me that it's probably to the owners' benefit instead of the players. And the NFL, these next TV deals, they're going to be massive because it'll be the first time when Amazon...
Right.
Netflix.
Yep.
When there'll be like real players because the streaming services have really permeated the marketplace.
More than they ever dreamed.
So in addition to CBS and NBC and ESPN who wants to get in for the Super Bowl rotation and maybe get an extra game in addition to Monday Night Football, all the traditional players, you know, you got Jeff Bezos.
Right.
Who's got more money than all of them.
Yeah.
So it's going to be record setting. So it seems to me that the player's leverage is in waiting and not taking it early.
If they can handle a work stoppage, if
right.
they're in a position to handle a work stoppage, because see, I think that's one thing that's good about getting ahead of this is you've got a long time to hash this out. You wait a whole hell of a lot longer, you're going to be at the wire and there is going to be a legitimate threat that a season will not start on time. And that's a terrible thought for any big football fan. I do not want to start September with no NFL.
No fans. I was answering your initial question of what do I like, what do I not like about it from the eyes of do I think it's a fair deal for the players? I'm normally pro player on these labor disputes. I tune in to watch the players. These guys put their bodies on the line. They do not have guaranteed contracts by and large. They got screwed last time. I'm pro player in this equation. But yeah, of course, as a fan, I want there to be guaranteed football. I just think this deal, as currently presented, most likely is a huge win for the owners, even if it's better than the deal that the players got last time, because the owners want to lock this thing in before they get their billions and billions in TV deals.
Can you wrap your head, or in the case of Will Perdue, wrap your fingers around the idea of saying after a Bears season, yeah, I was expecting much better than a 9-8 run this year? Can you handle the 7 to the oddness of an odd number game schedule, 17 games? Is that something?
Yeah, I can.
I don't like it, but I can get past it. It would take some getting used to, but, you know.
It used to be 14.
Right.
It was 12. Yeah. So things get bigger, not smaller, right?
I thought we were going to be much better than a 12-5 club this year. It just sounds goofy.
I agree. It does. It's greedy also.
Yes.
Right? They'll say we care about player safety, but we want to add playoff games. We want to add regular season games. And then, oh, yeah, we'll take away a preseason game, maybe two, but the starters are playing less and less in those games anyway. And this is a classic negotiating move. In the first one that was put out publicly, it was we want a 17th game and we're going to cap it at $250,000 per player for their game checks. When a lot of players earn more than $250,000 a game.
Right.
And so the players were like, no, of course not.
Yeah,
and then they and then they removed the cap on it. And they're like, oh, okay, there's a win for the players. Well, that was a poison pill. Like,
yeah.
That didn't need to be in there in the first place.
Right.
You know, that's a fake.
You've given us something.
Exactly. That's a fake negotiation tactic. I think that
sounds like a broadcast negotiation to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Ring kind of familiar?
It certainly does. I would be interested in knowing how they would handle the fairness of an odd number schedule.
Right.
Right. Are you going to do international week where every team has to play one international game? So you get 8 home, 8 road, and then 1 neutral? Or are you going to do 1 year the NFC gets 9 home games.
Yeah.
1 year the AFC gets 9 home games because you couldn't do it where it was split.
Right. It makes for a lot of weird mathematical oddities.
And I'm sure you could figure it out, but you couldn't have a year where the Packers had 9 home games and the Bears had 8 within the same division.
Wouldn't seem fair, would it?
Right. So obviously you'll have to figure that part of it out. But I will be honest with you. If you're asking me, Danny Parkins, what do I like? I like more football. I'm not going to be outraged over the addition of football. Do I think it's necessary? No. Is it greedy? Yes. The playoff expansion.
Do I oppose? No.
Yeah, right. The playoff expansion bothers me more than the regular season expansion.
Why? What would bother you about that? All they're doing is adding one team in each conference.
It rewards mediocrity.
That's what Shep said last week when it came out.
And it devalues the likelihood. Like this past year, good example. Chiefs-Titans. That was a cool AFC championship game.
Yeah.
I would have preferred Chiefs-Ravens, the 1 and 2 seed, the best teams over the course of the representative sample of the regular season.
Well, the Ravens didn't do their part for you. What's your point?
I'm aware of that. My point is that you will be less likely to get the two best teams playing in conference championship games if the teams at the top are not rewarded. In the new system, the 2 seed and the 7 seed,
yes,
the gap between them is only a home versus a road game.
Yeah.
As opposed to now, the gap between the 2 seed and the 6 seed
is
you get a bye in a home game as opposed to an extra game and a road game.
Okay, so, I got you.
So you'll be more likely to get 4 seed, 5 seed, 6 seed, 7 seed playing for the conference championship because it's single elimination football as opposed to really rewarding the best team. A bye and a home game to play in the NFC or AFC championship is a tremendous advantage,
mm-hmm,
and I think that there should be for the 12, 13, 14 win teams. Those teams should get a much bigger advantage than an 8-8 division winner that gets to host a game.
Fair enough. Well, you know, the Bears would have made 2 more playoffs in recent years if they had this system, and Lovie Smith likely still is here.
Yeah, maybe he's still here. But yeah, it's. I heard you say that when I was gone. I mean,
yeah, yeah. Made a promo.
Yeah, I heard the promo. Yeah, I didn't hear it live.
You miss a few shows and I get in a promo.
You're in a lot of promos, buddy. It's the McNeil and Parkins show. Haven't you heard? Your name's first on the masthead. But it's Joe. I just. This is all about money.
Yeah.
It's just that they're not doing it for what the fans want. So you're like, well, would, as a fan, would I? Yeah, they're not. Nothing that would happen would turn me off from the NFL.
They, you know what? If they diminish the preseason schedule, that fans are getting something. Fans don't want a 4-game preseason August. Nobody wants that. If they wind up dropping that to 2, fans are getting something out of that. You get an additional regular season game, and you chop unnecessary football off of their calendar.
Yeah, but I mean, preseason games rate well on television. People go. People who can't afford regular season games go. Football is a commodity that is consumed.
It's, you know, we agree they are a necessary evil, but I see, and I've done a bit of a turn on how I want to see.
I actually disagree that they're a necessary evil. The only reason they're necessary is because of money. College football doesn't have a preseason.
Okay.
It's just always been done that way.
Yeah. Well, they feel it's necessary to get ready to start playing meaningful games. They always have. That's the reason they have them. They have to find out what they have. They have to make the decisions at the back end of the roster. That's all that you seem to think the Bears should think about is the back end of the roster. You favor the entire first group not playing at all in August.
Yeah, any meaningful players should not play in games where you can get hurt. Well, just college football is my example. They play massive games in week one of the college football season every year. Top 10 teams play each other in non-con game. You get whatever, Auburn, Oregon, Alabama, Michigan, week one, every single year. It happens. And then those teams are competing for national championships. But the professionals that are working out year-round and all of that, they need it. It seems it's
they also get to hit each other because it's always been done and because it makes money.
Well,
the college kids also get to hit each other in August. They don't have to worry about violating a CBA. I know it's not as much as it used to be, but they still smack each other around and get ready to play football.
Oh, well, there are limitations on football practices in college in terms of number of hours you're allowed to do it.
I know.
It can't be year-round. So there are limitations on that as well. But no, preseason exists because it makes money and it's always been done that way. But yeah, they will chop some of it off. I think the players should hold out. Like, I think that they make more money. That league makes more money than the Major League Baseball, than basketball,
right,
and all of that. And it's the most dangerous.
Right. Where's
ours? And it's the shortest career. So their leverage is in holding out. Now, the owner's leverage is they're billionaires and the players are millionaires, so even if they do hold out for 6 weeks, 6 months, a year, the players will buck before the billionaires do.
There are so many players who, even guys who are on second contracts, who are not prepared financially to take 6 months off.
Right.
They just can't do it. You overspend, you get bad advice, it goes faster than you ever dreamed it would. That's going to be a problem between the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why everyone says, oh, the NFL union should be the strongest. Conceptually it should be, but they're operating from a place of a disadvantage. There's a lot of players of very different levels, right? You got guys that make 500 grand. You got guys that make 35 million, and the contracts aren't guaranteed. So there's not a whole heck of a lot of similarity. Whereas in baseball, contracts are guaranteed.
Right.
Basketball, contracts guaranteed.
Yep.
Chance of lifelong brain damage, much less, obviously, in those other sports.
Incredibly shorter career.
Yeah. So I don't know. I look at this like if the NFL union was trying to get the best deal, they would actually head towards a work stoppage. But it's very unlikely that they have the stomach to do it. And if you were in charge, Danny Mack gets to build football. You go 17 games and you go 14 playoff teams?
I can live with
both. So you
both
like
of
both
those.
Getting
yes,
bigger.
I don't love the 17. I'm okay. I'll get used to it. It's weird. There are some things I want to see how they're going to iron out, like you said, inequities on home games versus road games, but it's not the worst thing that they could have done.
What do you think of this idea? International, the 8 home, 8 road, and then one international game, and you add a second bye. So that you know, if you're playing in Toronto, it's not as long of a trip for an East Coast team or something like that. But if you're playing in Beijing, you get a bye week, obviously, on the back end to help out with it. And then 16 games all over the world. You could scatter it and play them at different times. You could even do Saturday, Sunday if you did it towards the end of the season.
You're talking about all in the same weekend?
You could try.
Boy, don't you want to spread the wealth?
Maybe
don't you want to stretch that out and make it a season-long event?
Probably, but I think
this week we're in Sweden. Next week we're in, you know, pick a country.
That would probably be necessary.
Chung.
But I think it's a cool
bite
thing.
Bite your lips.
That would make money for the NFL. It would be
That's a decent idea.
It would be equitable. And there wouldn't be a competitive imbalance. And then the other thing I was thinking, to steal from hockey with the Winter Classic, why not an NFL game at Notre Dame Stadium? Why not an NFL game at, you know, in Austin? Like, play them in your biggest college football stadiums, in your crazed football markets, and expand it that way. And you have neutral site games. So, you know, the Chiefs play the Broncos.
That's part of the supposed proposal, isn't it? Wasn't that reported last fall?
There's been talk.
Tuscaloosa and South Bend were two places where talks have at least been had for doing that.
They've talked about doing one-offs, but I'm saying is, like, pair it with your 17-game schedule and say
this team's playing.
And you do it regionally where it makes sense.
The Seahawks are playing at Oregon this week, whatever it might be.
And so, no, that might be too much of a home field advantage for one team, but so the Chiefs play the Broncos in Nebraska, you know, like where it's a commute for both teams. So you figure it out where now, and maybe you wouldn't want to do those rivalry games in that way because you don't want to mess up the division stuff. But you choose the game, you know, it's your conference crossover opponent, right? So what division do the Bears play this year? I don't even know what AFC division do they play. I don't know.
They just did the West,
it's not the North. So
they do for the South.
The South.
They're
yeah,
due for the South. South.
All right, so Bears Colts, do it in South Bend. Like do it that way.
Do me a favor and go back and watch that Colts game.
Perfect.
Oh, so beautiful.
Perfect.
As a bigger college fan than I am an NFL fan, you have your own stadiums. Go play them there.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't think there's anything particularly cool about that for the NFL players or for the fans. Like, you know, smaller stadium, less people. I mean,
well, some of the stadiums are bigger.
Some of them are bigger, but like it's, all right, you got graduated from the college life. Now go enjoy your locker room where you're buddy-buddy with everyone and some of the amenities that aren't quite the same.
What's the way to make it fair if you're doing 17 games is all I'm thinking about. Neutral site.
Yeah.
Neutral site.
That's good. You're thinking. It's an idea.
I'm just trying to think of new ideas.
I don't hate it. I actually have seen the Bears play at Notre Dame Stadium. I want to say a preseason game in
You saw
Brian's song, yes. A lot of that was shot at Notre Dame Stadium way before they did the renovations. But, yeah, I think it was 86-ish. I think it was Bears and Bills in a preseason game there, yeah.
Every team plays their game before the bye in Hawaii.
Ooh. There you go. See, now that's the type of thing that the players would see and then agree to. Like, oh, we don't have to hit each other in mini camp and we get to go to Hawaii once a year.
Coaches absolutely love taking their teams to Hawaii. No possible distractions there. Teams hate these trips. I have not talked to a guy ever involved with it who doesn't loathe it.
But we agree that it's not going away.
No, it isn't going away. There's just going to be more of it.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. Tie it into this, and I feel like that is, it's good for business. It's a revenue generator that could be split amongst the players and the owners, and it doesn't mess up the competitive balance of one conference getting 9 home games, the other getting 8, things like that, if you're going to an odd number schedule. Is it a perfect solution? No, but it's a, you know, It's an idea.
Yeah.
Thinking outside the box
a little bit. Your box thinkage.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena Thursday. They've got Illinois at 7. Tickets on sale at NUSports.com.
Somebody at NFL Network we talk about pretty regularly on this show thinks a lot like you do. I want to share that with you in just a little bit. Somebody down in Indy got a great opportunity today to meet with one of your heroes. I'm going to share that with you in just a couple of minutes.
It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
There is no quarterback I would rather have in a big spot in the history of the NFL than Nick Foles.
It's our guy, Peter Schrager, from Good Morning Football on NFL Network.
Yeah, the guy's got takes. You said you were done with Good Morning Football.
Combine week, man.
Oh, you're back. That didn't take long. This segment brought to you by Indeed. Indeed is used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Last week, on a couple of occasions, I just happened to be walking through the room where the TV was on, and Good Morning Football had stuff on that makes me think, man, this really is a long off season for these characters. One of the bits that I didn't stick around for was Nate Burleson's assessment of Kansas City's final two drives in Super Bowl 54. They're still going over that.
Oh, wow.
And then the always enthusiastic Kyle Brandt was casting movies with recent NFL postseason heroes and is trying to sell us on Adam Driver playing the role of Jimmy Garoppolo of the 49ers. And I thought that is a terrible miss. Garoppolo is impossibly good-looking, and Adam Driver is a real good actor who is not a good-looking man.
I don't find Adam Driver to be bad-looking. He's, like, distinctive-looking. Like, he looks like
anybody but Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, well, and he looks like a celebrity should look. You know what I mean? Just like, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone look like him.
He has presence for one who's not attractive.
He's very distinctive.
Yeah. He's not as handsome as Jimmy Garoppolo, though. It's like,
But nobody is as handsome as Jimmy. Brad Pitt is ugly next to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, yes, but I mean, cast a beautiful man to play Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know. Army Hammer? A little too. No? Is he doing it for you?
Honestly, who can play Jimmy Garoppolo?
The Winklevi?
It's the most daunting role in sports casting. Like, I mean, that guy is one of one. Yes. Straight up dreamy.
So Peter Schrager is outside of the studio. He has left Kay and Kyle and Nate, and he is in Indianapolis, and he's been sitting down with NFL head coach after NFL head coach. And this morning, he got a chance to sit next to Matt Nagy. And after right before the interview concluded, he asked him about the guy from whom his tree. He asked about Andy Reid celebrating that Super Bowl championship and what that was. I want you to give this a listen and see if he sounds maybe just a little bit like you.
It was so good to see him a couple nights ago, get dinner with him, and just hear about all the stories because he's the absolute best.
Oh, I got goosebumps thinking about that. That is amazing stuff. And
yeah. You got to have a meal with Andy Reid.
It just moved thinking about that meal.
I got goosebumps thinking about that.
As a branch on the tree that you are, you got to sit there and watch him eat a cheeseburger.
Ooh. Are there two men who could have dinner that would give you goosebumps if you just think about two guys getting together? Anybody who's like, oh, God, those guys eating dinner together. Man, I just got goosebumps. The hair on the back of my neck stood up.
No, probably not.
No, why do you say that then? Do you think he really goosebumped? Or do you think he's just moving his lips?
I think Kyle Brandt is opening mouth and saying things.
The Andy Reid tree.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Peter, goosebumps thinking about that.
Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, same show, different guy. Both of them.
Got goosebumps thinking about that.
I got goosebumps thinking about two football coaches having dinner together.
Well, that's a very football guy, yes. Football network thing to say.
It is on brand, isn't it?
Right, that's what they do.
Well, remember, this is the crew that spent the Friday before the Super Bowl just telling you about all the people they saw out all week. Omar Ruiz, and I ran into this guy, and I found people from the Seahawks front office, and Tom Michaels bought me a pancake. And
told me how great I was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, listen, they got a stretch content. Those specific network thing, MLB Network, what do they do in the offseason?
That's a good question.
What, you know what I mean? Like, that would be brutal. What
they, they're following the League of Marquee. They're running highlights from the 2020 Cubs convention.
Well, first of all, they've got Mad Dog on for a substantial portion of their broadcast day, so that's great.
That's true. But it's not his radio show. It's his baseball show. So what is he doing?
But it's his serious show.
Yeah,
MLB Network Radio, they put it on Sirius.
Okay, yeah, there's that.
I'll have to find out. I've never punched in during the offseason.
I know MLB they Network. Air Bull Durham and Little Big League a lot.
And The Sandlot.
Yeah.
Which I watched a little bit early this morning. Not quite as joyful as Borat was yesterday, no. But fun.
Yeah, well, they're ramping up now. They're pretty soon. I think they're going to have their 30 teams in 30 days. Usually they do that every spring training.
Oh, right now it's great for them. Right now they got B-roll of guys playing catch. They can show people sun. They plenty of things going on.
From November to February, it's just guys in suits with no jackets holding baseball bats.
Yeah, and no one's been signing either, like in the last couple of off seasons. So they've been doing 5-hour hot stove shows with no news.
Well, this year wasn't so bad. This year they actually had movement. The previous 2 years were dreadful. Well,
yeah, last couple of years. So it's just, hey, that is not my idea of a dream job.
No.
Like just being pigeonholed into doing something like that.
I know.
Sometimes we were like, oh, God, are we talking Bulls again, Bears again? Yeah. Like at least we can spread all fields.
CC Sabathia has had a spot, has had a seat at the table on Good Morning Football for a couple of weeks, which is always fun.
Wait, what?
CC Sabathia. Yes.
Guy's got a great
agent.
Wrote this.
Yeah, he's a media maven. He's got a big podcast.
He was in Cubs camp today, according to Javi Baez's Twitter feed or his Instagram feed. CC showed up in Mesa.
Let's get him on.
CC's going around getting all the podcast guests, I think. I think Tim Anderson is going to be on his any day now. Probably get Javi on there.
You're right. He's got the big podcast gig, but I didn't realize there was crossover to NFL Network.
Yeah, I mentioned that in an email. You were probably off when that went around last week. I think I said that last week. CC Sabathia is still hanging out. He'd been on like a week and a half prior, and there he is. He just shows up whenever he wants to go talk football. He just goes. He knows where the studio is. They let him in and they give him a chair.
It's the off season.
Yes.
I'd let him in too.
If it'll keep Kyle Brandt away from saying Adam Driver should play Jimmy Garoppolo in a movie, then we're good.
Ooh, got goosebumps thinking about that.
the easily goosebumped Peter Schrager.
Talking about easily excitable, Chuck Swirsky added to the program. 4:40 today.
Morning, Chuck!
Putting him in the Hall of Fame coming up at 4:40. But next, we will remember someone that I know you were very close to coming up on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.